Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. All right, hey everybody, this is Josh.
Hello, this is Scott.
And we're glad to be back with you again, and I had a great weekend. It was Palm Sunday on Sunday.
It was Palm Sunday. I don't think we mentioned it from the pulpit.
We didn't have kids with palm branches come in or
no donkeys.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, I feel like sometimes my kids come home with one. We didn't do that this time. Well, but we did have a great Easter in five letters.
Yes, tell us about it.
Oh, man. Well, Jason Miller, our children's pastor, and a bunch of volunteers put on a great family event on Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. and you take your kids, mostly for like elementary school age kids, maybe preschool, and a lot of different kind of learning styles. So you go in and you, they're talking about Hosanna, so you write these praises to God on a t-shirt, mm-hmm. and you lay it on a path, mm-hmm. like they laid their cloaks down for Jesus. You wash each other's feet. You talk about the upper room, and you mm-hmm. wash each other's feet. You nail nails in the cross. So it's very visual, very tactile. And there's some script. You read your way through scripture that has to do with the resurrection, the death of Christ, and into the resurrection, and all kinds of really cool ways to have some conversation with your kids. It was mm-hmm. a great night.
Great.
Lots of fun. So we did celebrate Palm
That's
Sunday
right.
Through that.
After church, yeah. Getting our families ready for this week.
That's right.
Which churches call Holy Week, you know, mm-hmm. and traditions called Holy Week. And here at Grace, we tend to focus mainly on Good Friday, mm-hmm. which is the remembrance of the cross, and then Easter Sunday, the remembrance and celebration and joy of the resurrection. And that's
yep.
coming up here. We're going to do that.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
So I would encourage people to be praying all week long. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, Josh, people who've been in church a long time, they see it as, oh, yeah, that's the thing we do every year, kind of like Christmas. You know, we do that every
yep.
year. And it's easy to forget really what's happening and really the power of the weekend of Good Friday and Easter because it's not just a traditional thing that we do.
Right.
You know, it's not just for our remembrance. It is a proclamation of the gospel, mm-hmm. which requires us to be much in prayer for God to be working and for pastors and preachers all over the city to be really preaching the gospel.
Yep.
And not hiding the gospel. Mm-hmm. Not over adorning the gospel in such a way that nobody can really see the actual thing because there's so much adornment on it.
Right.
And so our church, I'm calling to prayer this week that it'll be clear and it'll be powerful. Mm-hmm. It'll be compelling. The Spirit will do the attracting of the hearts and minds as the gospel's presented, the cross on Friday, the resurrection on Sunday.
Yeah. And I think still culturally, like people, some people, even if they're not Christians, have some kind of sense that maybe you're supposed to go to church on Easter mm-hmm, Sunday if mm-hmm. they had any kind of background, family history that might have to do with the Christian faith. So they show up, and then the centrality, kind of like at Christmas time, right?
Mm-hmm.
People might go on Christmas, they're in town with family, and they get brought. But this is a time when the work of Jesus on the cross is like central to what everything that we're talking about and celebrating that day. So it's
That's
a great
right.
opportunity.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is a little, you know, maybe inside preaching world, mm-hmm. inside baseball for our church.
Right.
But often when a preacher is preaching a text that's not explicitly about the cross, mm-hmm. we learn and are praying and are trying to get to the cross.
Yes.
You know, find the places in a text. They give even an Old Testament portion of the scripture that gets us to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this weekend is one that is all about and ends with the cross.
Yeah.
And the same with the resurrection.
Yeah.
So the message is directly about mm-hmm. that. So I would encourage our people to be praying and to invite.
Yeah.
To invite people.
Yeah. So we'll take a brief pause from Acts for Easter Sunday.
That's right.
But this past Sunday, we were still in Acts. We did all of Acts chapter 12,
yeah.
minus one verse, I guess.
Yeah, all of Acts 12. That was a long one.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It's amazing that we got through it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting passage. I would encourage people to listen to it if they weren't here. So we'll just give you a quick overview right now. It's an interesting passage because you've got all this activity of the Holy Spirit and the word increasing and spreading in different places, and Gentiles have come to faith, and a whole new church in a major city in both the Roman world and for Christian mission, a church's birth. That's the city of Antioch. And then boom. And by the way, chapter 13, we're going to come back to Antioch, but right there in chapter 12, it's all about Herod, which is interesting. And so, we tried to address why Luke would include that, why the Holy Spirit wanted Luke to include that, to be an encouragement to the church throughout the generations, that there is no match for the power of God's word, and that all who oppose him are not, or they're going to lose. Like no one's going to stand before the Lord and oppose the Lord and oppose his gospel and oppose his church and survive that.
Yeah.
And Herod is a great example of that. So that's the harsh reality. The encouragement is for the church to know that with Jesus, we're on the winning side. Mm-hmm. It's not about sides, but we're Christ wins over evil. So yes, it is about that. It's over evil and sin and death Christ wins and the gospel goes forth, and all who come to faith in Christ align themselves with him. And whether we get our heads cut off or lose our families or go to jail or have a very successful, happy life, but we're serving the Lord in that regard. Either way, we're with Christ. So I think that's why Luke put it there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. In this chapter, I thought the emphasis, I think, in a lot of our minds and the message had to do with the mystery of what God is doing with his people, as well as with tyrants like Herod, right? Mm-hmm. So you had this mystery where, like, James gets probably beheaded, Peter gets set free from prison. Mm-hmm. And then Herod, you know, he's out there, he doesn't rebuke the crowd for calling him a god, and he just dead in his tracks. He's gone. And then, of course, scripture is full of, like, tyrants that live their whole life and all that kind of stuff as well. So you have this big question that's like, why would God allow this one to die and this one to live, and why would, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah,
it's a little focused on what God is doing in the moment, which is of course what we all think, right? We all think about that.
Yeah.
But as you said in the sermon, Luke is writing this narrative and including these stories for a purpose, which is intended to enact something on us. So what's our role in all of this? Like, how are we supposed to think and how are we supposed to act in response to passages like Luke 12?
Yeah. Well, the reason that's a wonderful question is because that's really I think, a good model for reading the Bible and for discipleship for everybody. And that is, you read the Bible for what the Bible tells you about God. And then when you know about God, then you can read the Bible for how the Bible tells you to respond in light of who God is.
Right.
And so here's a God who is acting sovereignly, though in the minds of some with a bit of mystery, which you just said. Why was James killed, not Peter?
Yeah.
You know, why are some prayers answered directly and quickly and with a yes, like the prayers for Peter, and some aren't? Why are some tyrants killed or dealt with, judged immediately, like Herod, and some aren't? So those are the big questions of it. But your question is, how do we respond? And I think what the Bible reveals to us is that God is sovereign over everything, and in numerous places, whether it's all the way back from one of the earliest characters of the whole Bible was Job. And he comes through this whole experience, horrible experience, on the other end, saying, I know that God, no plan of God can be thwarted. And so we see the revelation of God. And then all the way through, we see the sovereignty of God. No plan of God's can be thwarted.
Yeah.
So what does that do for us as Christians? Well, number one, it does not take the emotion out of life.
Right.
Job experienced what he experienced, and it was real and hard. The people of Jerusalem experienced James being beheaded. They experienced Peter being imprisoned. You know, so these are hard experiences. So it doesn't take the emotion out, doesn't take the difficulty of it out. But the text is driving us to see the sovereignty of God in all things, because this whole Christian life is a life of faith. There was a line I used on Sunday, and it was trying to, not a play on words, but trying to be a little bit maybe poetic, pray without ceasing, and but also pray without seeing. Mm. And so we don't see behind the curtain always is the why questions.
Yeah.
But we pray without ceasing, and we pray without seeing behind that curtain. Mm. We are faithful to trust God's sovereignty. We pray. We stay in faith with the Lord. We understand that God is doing a work, even though we can't fully understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't even like when people tell me, well, you know, in about 5 or 10 years, you'll see what God's doing. No, I don't. I mean, maybe, but I don't know that we'll understand fully what God, we won't understand fully. I do know we will not understand fully what God's doing until the day when we are before the Lord and he chooses at that moment to pull the curtain back and let us see the process of our sanctification.
Yeah.
How things were working together for our good.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means we pray, we live, we trust, we're faithful by faith. Mm. And I think that's a great message from Acts 12 for us.
Yeah. You mentioned that, I do want to revisit this. You mentioned something about it not being without emotion. Mm-hmm. But you know, in terms of being faithful, being in prayer, is it okay for us to feel really strong emotion, especially about the negative things that are happening in our life? Mm-hmm. We suffer loss. We deal with difficulties. Can you be faithful and still feel grief over those things, or is it just you just pick yourself up and put a smile on your face and walk forward, and that's faithfulness?
The answer to the last question is no, that's not faithfulness. The answer to the first question is yes, we do feel emotion. Mm-hmm. Again, we say it over and over, read the Psalms, read the prophets, read Jesus. There is evil in this world. Herod was evil. Let's just say it. Mm-hmm. Herod was evil. He killed an apostle. He imprisoned another apostle. He was robbing God of his glory. Okay, no one robs God of God's glory, but he was acting as if he could rob God of his glory,
right,
and he could claim to be a God. He was evil.
Yeah.
And there's evil in this world, and it grieves our souls as human beings created in the image of God. It grieves our souls because it grieves God's soul. Hmm. It's godly to grieve the way God grieves.
Yeah.
So yes, there's a lot of emotion. But hard emotion, sadness, sorrow, lament, anger, frustration, how long, O Lord, kind of emotion. That's why we read from Psalm 13 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we chose that because of this very purpose. These are realities that are consistent with faith. And so, you know, I can only imagine in Jerusalem as this is going down in Acts 12, and Herod is on you know, he's on this tirade, the tyrant on a tirade, I can only imagine there was fear and nervousness and frustration and anger and sorrow and all the above. Mm. And yet, in that, we say, okay, God is sovereign. He is working. He is moving all things to an end. He will make all things right. That's why we ended the service with that song Sunday.
Yeah,
He's making all things right. He's making all things new. He will rise up. He will judge. And we'll all stand before that judgment. So we need to be in Christ. I'm answering your question in a long way. Yes, we can have emotion. We should, and still be in faith.
Yeah.
And that's the hard reality, but the joyous reality.
And I think the difference too is that the psalmist, if we're mm-hmm. talking about that, takes those emotions to the Lord. It's not like he's just sitting there in a corner feeling his feelings.
Right.
It's being brought before the Lord.
Right.
And that's an act of faith as well.
So. Yeah, it's like the psalm. I think it's Psalm 88, the psalm without resolve.
Uh-huh.
It's just all bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of psalms are.
That was actually what I read. That was this morning.
Oh, there you go.
That was yesterday, I guess. Yeah.
A lot of the psalms they're hard. Uh-huh. Hard emotions, but they at the end it's like, but I will trust in the Lord. Psalm 88, there is no but I will trust in the Lord.
Right.
So you say, well then where is God in that? Well, the fact that he was directing his psalm to God.
That's right.
Again, all these accounts of the Bible are revealing the same message to us, and that is that God is sovereign Acts 12 is God is sovereign over a Herod.
That's right.
And all the evil behind him. God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. And you brought up, I wanted you to chime in because you brought up a really good connection at the end of it. Mm-hmm. About the word of the Lord. So I'll let you close out this podcast with some okay. exhortation from Acts 11 that I did not talk about
tonight. Oh, yeah. Well, one thing I noticed in the text was, you know, he gets up and he's talking to the people, Herod mm-hmm. is, and the people are saying, the voice of a God and not a man, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this emphasis on his voice, his words going out to the people, and they're praising it for it. And God stops him dead in his tracks. And one of the very next verses is, but the word of the Lord went forward. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact, I didn't have it in front of me to quote it to mm-hmm. you, but the contrast is the word of this guy is just stopped in his mouth practically, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and God's word continues to move forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evidences of the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. That is the bedrock on which our whole faith is built.
Mm. Yep.
Beautiful.
And the knowledge that he loves us, which we can see in the cross, which we'll celebrate on Good Friday.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you then.